Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in and deep dive into our subject today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors, plural. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. The customer service is, I can tell you a story of like, oh geez, maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago where I couldn't get, it was an older machine. It wasn't one of the newer machines, but I couldn't get it. And they literally sat on the phone with me for almost an hour trying to problem solve. Eventually we got it. Eventually we needed to get a couple pieces kind of sent, but their customer service, and at that point on, they had a customer for life. So go mention Coach Unplugged or Coach Collins or any of us, and they'll give you $400 off for you. I said it right, $400 off your next purchase. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking to become a better basketball coach, you're looking to expand, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for resources, teachhoops.com is the answer. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's better than Netflix because it comes with me. It comes with one-on-one calls. It comes with resources and things to make you a better basketball coach. It has everything that you're going to need in one spot. It has the roadmap set up for you so you know to kind of go tackle the things that you need in order to solve your basketball questions. So go over and check it out. It also helps us pay the bills. So go over and check that out. Also, I said this on a couple other podcasts. We'd love if you go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops, the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, the Funnel Down Defense Podcast. Go over and check those out. I think you'll love those. We love sharing with the world, and leave a 5-star review. Let's head off to the podcast.
This is another good discussion. I always thought as a young coach too, and even an old coach, thinking, God, am I doing this wrong? Because I always talked to the girls about, if basketball were hard, I wouldn't be coaching. And what I really mean by that is I break the game down in very simple things. And if I had to remember every position and what every name is and I'm just like, okay, I can't do it. Right. So I dumbed it down, and I don't play positions, right? Everybody either, and it's not necessarily positionless, and they have things that they need to do, but everybody's a guard, right? And anybody can bring, I want to train every single player to bring the ball up. Now, obviously some are better than others, but there's going to be, a few scenarios, and I've had it happen where, one game I had, oh my God, this is embarrassing, but I'll tell it anyway. I was up by 30 points and lost the game. 5 of my starters went out, down. One right after halftime, all 5 just went boom, 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 out. Ankle injury, whatever it was, just right in a row. We lost the game by a basket, right? And I didn't properly train, 5 through 10, bring up a ball, were, you know, and I'm like, okay, I can't, like, this is dumb. Right. So,
no, but I think what you two are talking about is marketing, though, a little bit. Like, no guard thinks they're big. Yeah. Every big thinks they're a guard.
Correct.
That's yes. Right.
Like, I never thought I was a big. I never wanted to post up. So it's like you basically just got to remarket it to them. Mm-hmm. Like,
Steve, when I had Bear Benson, first possession of our very first game, we're playing somebody that's not very good, so this is easier to do. He shoots a transition three. He's 6'11". We have never once shot a transition three with this kid in his life. I called the timeout in the first quarter. That's how pissed off I was of my big thinking he was a guard. And I called the 30-second timeout, and I just looked, and he goes, Coach, I just got really excited. I'm sorry. It's first game. Never did it again.
I love when they apologize before. Like, literally, they'll – like, because they know you and I love timeouts. So if I call one – and first of all, if I call one and I'm running out toward them, they know the crap's hitting the fan at that point. Like, oops. Like, they'll – sorry, Coach. Sorry. It's like – I love the good 30 that I meet him at the elbow. And it's like, we have a little
great teaching point when
far away from mom and dad behind the bench. It's like, all right, we got to have a discussion out here in the middle of the damn court. Cause this ain't really-
that is, I had to ban the name heat check. Cause every player would shoot one and be like, Coach, is a heat check.
Oh,
I was like,
stop watching YouTube.
Yeah. Heat check, Coach, heat check. Sit down.
But then you have some other kid that's not allowed to shoot, and he's like, what the hell, that kid gets to shoot a heat check and come out of the game.
Yeah, Dean, well, then
you allow them to shoot, yeah. And then they, you allow them to shoot, and then they know exactly why they are not allowed to shoot as soon as they air ball it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Dean Smith famously, one time a player said, Coach, sorry man, I was feeling it, and he said, you can feel the bench then.
Feel over there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we answered your question.
No, it's good. I mean, because it's a process. And I think it's – I think because this is – so I did middle school for 1 year, and then I did high school last year. So this is my only second year in high school, and it's that continuity of really building a process. And it, I know it changes whatever team that you have because it's – you know, you have different IQs and stuff like that.
And you do. And you have different – it's like having a different class. I don't know. At some point I was talking to somebody about, like, I teach 5 classes a day. All 5 are different. They all have personalities. Some of them I like, some of them I don't necessarily like.
Right.
All of them together just don't work. It's the same with teams. It's like, there's been teams I've had to call practice off because it's just too competitive. Like, someone's going to get hurt. Right. And then there's other teams. It's like, does anybody have a competitive bone in their body?
Right.
Like, so it's the same thing with teaching them a drill or teaching them a play. Some of them, it's like, it's going to be like, this is easy.
Yeah.
And then it's some of them, it's going to be like, oh my God, how do I do this?
Because I definitely floated more towards, you know, concepts, you know, versus like set quick hitters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think you need, I think keep it simple. The KISS method, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
I think sets are fine.
Yeah.
I personally like to change, you know, yeah. Good players are going to be able to create on their own. You're not necessarily going to need sets. You can overset them. Because to be honest with you, if I can't remember the 12 sets, they're not going to remember the 12 sets. So that I'm a firm believer in keeping that. You know, I'd rather spend my time on changing up defenses or trapping in the corner and trying to turn somebody over than putting 3 more sets in that are going to be average at best. You'll love this. Brett was part of our coaching meeting on Sunday. It's like, hey, because I sent him the video last week, my assistants, I said, hey, I like this ball screen thing. And that's where you got to start having discussions with people too. It's like, so then one of my assistants goes, oh, we could do this and then we could do this. But then I have another assistant says, don't keep adding to it. Keep it simple. You know, don't add 12 things. Let's, you know, and that's why I like that set that you showed last week, because it was so simple. You know, ding, ding, and you're done.
There's a sales job to it too. Cause I mean, I think Brett mentioned this last week of when the players buy into a play, it's going to work. It's going to be exponentially more successful.
If they all think they got a shot to shoot, I'm telling you, They don't have to necessarily, like, you can pull your point guard. This kid never needs to get the ball. Don't worry about it. But they all have to think they've got something, even on out of bounds plays. They all have to think they got a shot at it. The only one that doesn't probably is one throwing it in. The other four better think they got a shot to get a shot off, or they're not going to screen. I mean, they're teenagers. They just like, yeah. So,
and I don't know what I missed, or I had to get another drink. But the one drill that I do have that I think at, like, if it'll show you if your kids know what your concepts are. So we'll do like that add transition drill. So like we'll start off a guy shooting a free throw, and then it goes 2-on-1 to one in, and then you add defenders. And then when we get to 5-on-5, okay, now you have to run our offense. So they're tired. Some of them have already gone up and down the floor like 5 or 6 times. Now, like, we have to actually run our offense. The other thing I would say, like, whenever you're doing stuff, don't always start at the top of the key. That's one thing I've tried getting way better at. I'll even give the defense the ball, and they can throw it to anybody within reason to start the offense. So, like, if we're a true motion 4-out offense, they can literally start and throw it to the corner, and we have to run our offense there. I don't know if I would try that week 1.
Right.
Like, that's not a week 1 type thing, but like, or we do a lot of like 3-on-3 like that, or 3-on-2, 2-on-3, where the defense has the ball and they can throw it, because your kids will always start at the point, and then you're going to play somebody that's going to pin your ass to the sideline the first game, an old school trick that you can just dominate teams at the beginning of the year because they can't run their offense from one sideline. And like I think both of those I've kind of picked up on over the years of being able to do.
I do a lot of working on our offense out of the defense. So we'll be like working on our 1-3-1, and then we call them one trips, and then we'll go one way the other direction. That way they'll get it'll be better flow. I found that to be helpful rather than sitting in the half court and working on it. I'll show it to them, and then we're going to do one trips. Like, we're going to work on our defense for 30 seconds, and then whether they make the shot or miss it, we're going to take it and go the other direction. It gives a better feel to the game than just doing it. You know, just doing it in the half court is not realistic. That, like, why am I doing this kind of thing?
We do a ton of offense, defense, offense, or the opposite. Like this year, we never scrimmaged. One, it was like made my best team so much worse going against the other team. Like, there was nothing after 3 possessions we could even get out of it. We were better working on concepts where I would literally take my 6 best players and work on 3-on-3 concepts and leave. Because we usually keep 15 guys, 10 through 15, they have no idea what the hell's going on.
Right.
And, like, I mean, I had a kid this year, I kept him just so I didn't have to keep a couple of other guys that I knew were going to be an issue. And he was going to come. He cheered his ass off on the end of the bench. Like, that's why
I'm telling you, for young coaches, 12 through 15 is the key to a good season.
Yeah.
Both from sanity and team building. Man, you better be 12 through 15 better understand where they are in the world.
They're in the 30-30-30 club. We're up by 30. We're down by 30. Or there's only 30 seconds and we cannot.
Oh, my God. I love that.
I like it.
Wait, can you say that one more time with the just? I want to write that one down here.
30-30-30 club. We're up by 30, we're down by 30, or we're there's only 30 seconds left and we can't possibly.
So wait, with 2 minutes left and you're up by 20. Nah.
I'm gonna at some point that's gonna make social media. Like, do you want to be a 30-30 club member? If not, you better get out and shoot.
Yeah.
I love that.
I tell guys that. I'm like, look, you're working on being in the 30-30-30 club. And they're like, what's that? And I tell them, they're like, I don't want to be in that. And you're going to learn so much for assistants. You're going to learn so much from guys you coach with of what you do and don't want to do. And I learned that from the very first guy I ever coached with. And it was mostly things that you should never do. All right. Like, he had a whole list of things. Like, I caught a clipboard behind my head one time that he snapped over his knee. It was going into the crowd. I was like, Coach, you know we're brutal. Like, we were down 6 to a JV team in a Christmas tournament or something. It's going to be our first win. And I was like, you know, we're terrible. You cannot be surprised when we do stupid stuff out here. I mean, it was like the worst team I've ever seen in my life. But and because he had some other ones, some I can't say. Well, the best one he had was, but I can't say it whenever we have recording on.
Okay, don't say it. Yeah,
I'll give that one later.
I'm trying to find the invite here, so I can, someone just emailed me. What else do we want to talk about?
But, y'all brought up the positionless last year towards the second half of the year. We actually implemented whoever got the rebound actually starts taking the ball up. And it really helped us in transition because it took away that wasted time where, you know, we're looking for the point guard. It really helped. And I initially found it on YouTube is where I discovered it helped a lot just from a positionless standpoint.
Yeah, I've done that for years too. The only exception to that rule is if the person can't just is awful dribbling. I always tell that, you know, hey, look for your outlet, or more so I tell, hey, if she gets the ball, I say this to the point guard, right? You better go get it, right? So, but you know, I get the ball, get up court, right? And even if it's just turn and go a few steps, till you find that wing or to guard, right, to get the ball or whatever it is.
And it made him not panic a lot, you know.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Because we would get this girl, she would turn, go, and throw the ball away.
Right.
Or throw like some, she just, or twist her legs and try to throw it. I'm like, no, just take it and go. Take a couple dribbles and go right away.
I think a takeaway from that is the side discussions are so important. Like, because I don't want to embarrass kid X or kid Y. And if I trust the other kid, it's like, and they know they don't want to hurt their friend's feelings either, but it's like, you can't give him the ball there. Like, he's not going to do anything good there. Like, it's those side discussions that I would not have had in my 20s and 30s. I would just said it out loud. Now it's like, and then hopefully I've built up a relationship enough with the person that has the ball in their hands a lot that it's like, okay, let me explain how this works. You're my guy, so you can't give that person, like, I have assistant coaches that aren't as nice as I am, but it's like, that's not going to work out well for us if you're giving the ball there. Like, he's not catching the ball running at full speed down and that ball's going to bounce off his head every time. He can't catch it.
You're five man in traffic at the top.
Yeah, it's like, so it's one of those things. It's like by the fourth or fifth time, they'll just shake their head like this. As I'm walking toward them, they'll just go. They'll know that it's like, I can't give them that ball there. And it's like, that's what worries me about COVID, to be honest with you. It's like, I don't think some of those things are being learned right now because they're not playing. You know, they didn't play a lot last summer together. I don't know what's going to happen this summer. It's like, it's those little nuances. That's why I think the games look ugly in Wisconsin right now.
They throw the transition pass up the court to like all the way to the baseline to some guy that can't shoot, can't do anything with it. Even if it was a good catch, it's to some guy that could, like, hey, that's our defensive guy out there. Why did you just throw him the ball there?
Right. Right. He's standing outside 3-point line and you got, why are you throwing it to him there? Like, he's not going to, like, yeah.
I tell another good coach who I tell guys all the time is, you're open for a reason. Either I wanted you to be open or their coach doesn't care that you were open. Like, that's
good.
I heard that one.
That's good.
I'm not as nice as Steve. Like, a couple of years, I'll tell my guys, like, what are you doing throwing it to him? But I usually be like, yes, he can dunk it if he's down here, or like get the layup down there. I have gotten nicer and added that. Like, a couple of years ago, I had a kid. I was just like, you know, Destin can't shoot. And he's like, I'm like, dude, relax. You're going to play wide receiver at South Dakota State.
Right.
You're just go, just play defense and stand in the corner and pass the ball.
I've had NFL receivers the same thing. It's like,
yeah, you know why you're
catch
out
that ball, but he ain't going to shoot it. Like, I've literally said that. Like, yeah, that's a Division I wide receiver. Great. But what's he going to do with it? Like, he can't shoot outside 4 feet. Like, I know. It is true. That is true. Coach Hawkins, where do you coach?
Alabama.
Are you playing right now then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been to school every day, and we played like 14 games, 14, 15 games.
Oh, man. So,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Masks or no masks?
No, for the players, no mask. If you're on the court, they don't wear a mask. We started playing in late October, early November, and they started after Thanksgiving. They started making us wear masks on the bench, like the players on the bench. But on the court, no matter.
I figured Alabama would just maybe cancel sports once high school football was over.
Hey, we're holding on. They cut right before Christmas. They cut gym attendance to 20% of capacity. So, and
is it weird? It's got to be weird. Like I'm watching like the Badger Maryland game, or I'm watching the Michigan State Duke game. I think home court advantage is gone. Like it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's travel advantage. No, it's really hard to travel.
Yeah.
Well,
high school.
Oh, that's
maybe.
True. That's true. College. I never thought about that. Cause like Wisconsin's got to go to Maryland, or Maryland's got to come here. So that advantage is, that whole, the travel thing. I never thought.
And the refs still call stuff in the Big Ten. Like, they still screw people over at home. That Rutgers game.
They don't care if there's no one in the stands. It's like, yeah.
Like, there's nobody here. How did you get influenced? By the PA music guy?
Right.
Best part is you hear everything on TV now. You know, used to it with the crowds, you couldn't hear anything, but now you hear it.
Well, I think they're starting to pipe in noise just so you can't hear the players talking and stuff. I agree. So how's your season going then, Coach Hawkins?
Oh, we're not very good. But
let's help you. How can we help you?
Well, no, it's sort of a culture school thing.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
So I'm a football guy by trade. Like, that's what I do. And so I coach the defense for the football team, and I'm the head basketball coach. I started 2 years ago. This is my second basketball season. Well, the year before I got the job, they didn't win a game. So last year we won three. And this year we won three already. So we're hoping that we're getting better. We're not very good, but we're getting better.
Are they competitive? So here's what I would say. Are they competitive?
Yes. Yeah, we're getting
that. If they're competitive, you can make them better basketball players as long as they're competing.
The kids. I mean, I give them credit. They play hard. We're just not great. So and I think, but they had in this community like 3 or 4 year stretch where they didn't have like youth basketball. So like that's kind of what I'm in the middle of now. But like my seventh and eighth graders have been playing, and they're a pretty good little group. So.
I don't remember. I think I was talking to Bill this afternoon. It's like, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, man. It's a marathon. It is. And it's like, yeah. Like, I'll tell you a story too. Like when I took over the job, they had like six winning seasons in like 30 years. First person I hired was like, I knew Wesley Matthews, who's playing for the Lakers now. He didn't play much recently, but I hired his uncle as my assistant, and I knew he was coming. So it's like you got to kind of, build that youth program, and it will. Yep. Yeah, that's where your bread is buttered coming.
Yeah,
yeah, you just got to hold on. Yeah,
that's right. So, but no, man, I just don't. Like I said, I've been coaching football for 15 years, and this is like I've been a basketball assistant under some good guys, but it was just kind of like I come in after football season, I work with the post guys, and I coach the ninth grade team, and so. I don't have like the depth of knowledge when it comes to basketball. So that's part of the reason why I'm here.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Teach them one or two things. Brett's coached a long time too. He can help. And so is Phil. But I would just, my advice would be just keep it really simple. Teach them a couple things really well. And especially at the youth level for sure. Like teach them to play man, teach them to screen, teach them to shoot, teach them to shoot. Teach him to shoot. Teach him to shoot.
Yeah.
Because if you can shoot and you can create, I can teach you the other. I can teach you in 4 months a decent defense.
Like, yeah.
But I can't,
shoot
in 4 months.
If you can't shoot, really offensive rebound. Chase philosophy.
Right.
I've had it. The predominantly best team in our conference, they are still hard to beat because they will play that way. They might shoot 20%, but like they ruin your statistics in every category because we play everybody twice in our conference. But like, and I've had like my old school, like we just had to outwork people. It was a football school that we were playing basketball, probably a lot where you're talking about, Jonathan, and like we were never going to outshoot people, but you were not going to touch the court if you weren't going to play hard, rebound, do that stuff. And hell, it might take us two or three offensive rebounds to put it back in. We didn't even have – people are like, what do you mean you didn't play transition defense? I'm like, we rebounded so hard, nobody even thought about running on us.
Yeah.
And no, we were athletic. We'd catch them.
Yeah.
Like we weren't, you weren't gonna leak out against us.
Offensive rebounding is that thing. Like I've said this on my podcast. If you get an offensive rebound, you can shoot it. That's my rule. Like it's your ball. You went and got that. I don't care if you throw it over your head and close your eyes. Because
we've had some of that too.
But I'm just saying that if you tell them that, if you tell, especially if you tell a teenage boy that, if you say, if you get the ball, you can shoot. They'll crash the boards. Like, I mean, they will like literally like, that's your bucket. That's you. Like, and if you get five or six of those a game and hit half of them, there's 6-8 points. You can go home and, you know, maybe your girlfriend will give you a kiss. You know?
Yeah. We got some kids that can, this year we got a few kids that can shoot it a little bit. We're not very physically strong. And I got a couple kids that played a little basketball, but not a bunch. So it's like last year, like everything they knew about basketball, I had to teach them. And you know,
but like, I'm just saying with that 7th and 8th grade group, I would like 10,000 shot club, shoot. I mean, literally teach them to score and shoot. That's all I would be doing with those young guys. And they'll like to do it because they can get on YouTube and find 16 different moves. But repetition, shoot threes, get shots up. I'm telling you, because you'll be able to ride that group if they can shoot, because by the time they get to you, then you can teach them, all right, here's how we're going to play man. Here's how we're going to do this. Here's, you know, but if they can't shoot, I don't know. You're going to have to turn people over. Then it's just becomes a racetrack at that point.
Yeah.
Will, where do you coach at in Illinois?
Anna. So if you know where
Carmen. Anna Jonesboro?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I know I've heard the name. Is that in Southern Illinois?
It is. So Union County is Anna. So if you know where Carbondale is at, it's about 30 minutes southwest of Carbondale.
I grew up like straight north of St. Louis, which people can't figure out is in Illinois, but it's not like a straight, it's not a straight line. Like they don't get it, but,
right.
But people are like, yeah, down by Carbondale. I'm like, yeah, if you count 3.5 hours, close.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we used to play in the St. Louis area. We played in the Camelback Shootout, Brad, I was telling Will before you came on. And then we played in Highland, I think.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs or something. We played in that tournament. But that's really close to St. Louis, I think.
That Camelback Shootout used to be like the number one shootout in America.
Oh, it was crazy.
Like Carter's rolling in.
Drew
like,
Holiday played there. I mean, yeah. I was sitting outside getting interviewed for something, and then he walked in or out. I mean, he was a height like 16-year-old at that point or something. But that was like the thing. That was crazy.
And I mean, they used to play it at the Kiel Center. Like it wasn't like then they moved it to high school and then it moved to like Washington, Illinois, which is by Peoria. But it used to be like the best thing.
Oh, I got video of like Wesley and them doing it in the we had a shoot around in the empty, you know, 18,000 foot square or seat thing. It was crazy. Yeah.
That's how crazy the player that Wesley Matthews is. And he wouldn't even make the top 20 KMOX shootout players.
I know.
That's how crazy that
14-year-old NBA and won't make. No.
Like, Vince Carter scored 50 against.
I know. When you look at I got old books and stuff that they hand like programs. It's like, oh my gosh.
Jason, I remember Jason Williams was there and did
Sean Livingston stuff. Was there.
Yeah. Livingston's the best player I've ever seen in high school in person.
He was crazy.
He would score 6 points and like for they had three Division I point guards on this team, but he would score 6 points and just be dominating the game. I saw him throw a 65-foot no-look pass in high school. I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
2-1 press.
And that's how he was so good that even he got hurt and he was even able to come back from that and have the NBA career he's had.
He just, I'm watching him at Redbird Arena at ISU in a super sectional game. He just jogs down and sticks his entire hand above the box on the backboard. Like, didn't even like hardly jump. I'm like, oh my God. And this kid's a point guard. And then he ruined his leg. But
yeah, that's crazy.
But he would score. I mean, he only averaged like 12 points a game that year. And I mean, they had a lot of talent with him or whatever. But he was the smartest player I've ever seen in my
life.
He's
the prototype NBA guy now. That's the thing. He wasn't then, but he is like he's that long, lanky, you know, 6'7", 6'8", big wingspan, athletic. They weren't looking for those as much back then as they are now. But all I got to say is the Bucks got Giannis. 5 more years, baby. Go Wisconsin.
They lost the Knicks, man.
I tell you, I listened to your 5-minute podcast today, which I really like.
Do you like it? Hey, everybody's got to leave a review for my new podcast, 5-minute basketball podcast. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to like boom, 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 boom. I got them like 2 months queued up. So yeah,
you're the rabbit hole test or whatever it is, the foxhole test.
Foxhole test.
So I did that one year with my guys and I didn't have the directions. So it's kind of like running an offense where you kind of know the offense, but you don't really know how to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the foxhole test with my guys and I give it to the kids. And I had this kid on my team. He was an awesome person, but his name was Wambugu Wambugu. Right. And he's nice.
Was he from Nigeria?
He's from Nigeria.
Yeah.
Couldn't play a lick of basketball.
Dwayne.
But everybody loved Wambugu. Right, every gym we went to, they started chanting Wambugu. Every kid put Wambugu on their list for people that would be in their foxhole. And while I did it wrong, I go, guys, this is exactly why we're 3 games under .500. You all chose Wambugu to be in your foxhole.
I don't even remember that. It's like I use the foxhole thing all the time. I use that.
I like your directions. Huh? That's the best directions I've ever heard to it.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I've never seen them anywhere.
Okay. But it's like, it tells you so much who, like I always use war analogies and I probably shouldn't, but it's like, who do I want in my foxhole? Because literally half of you, as soon as the shots go, you'd be running that way. Like, it would be horrible.
Like, you would have guys that when you had Wesley Matthews wouldn't have chose Wesley Matthews to be in
the game. The problem is I'd have had they would have chose Wesley. They'd have chose my 5'9 point guard who was his best friend, and they would have chose his other best friend who was about 6'5". They would have chose – those three would have literally eaten other people before they were going to let anything lose, you know. And the same thing with my state championship teams. I wish I could tell you what the secret is, but it's just – there's just this – something happens, it's just crazy. I don't know, it's like falling in love. You're
really good and they really buy in.
Yes, you're good really and they all like kind of like when I won it in 2011, two or three weeks before we won it, no one was on the same ship. And my former assistant who was then assistant principal came in and had like a half hour discussion with him in the locker room and said, you guys got to go. This is going to end if you guys don't all get on the same page. And the seniors finally came on and it's like, it was just like a well-oiled machine at that point. I use that and I use the wheelbarrow. Like are you going to get in my wheelbarrow or are you not going to get in the wheelbarrow? Have you ever heard that story about the guy that wheelbarrowed his mom across the Niagara Falls?
No.
He kept asking for people to do it. And the only person that would go get in the wheelbarrow was his mom. And he's famous. If you Google it or YouTube it, he would walk across and make, you know, dinner on the tightrope and stuff. And it was like the Queen of England was there, and he would go up and he goes, "Will you get in my wheelbarrow and I'll wheelbarrow you across?" And he's already done it a bunch. And she goes, "No, no, no." The only person that would do it was his mother. And I said, "So our whole premise is, are you going to get in the wheelbarrow or are you not going to get in the wheelbarrow? Like, are you going to get in on the bus or are you not going to get on the bus?" And I show him the little video clip on YouTube about, like, you know, look at this guy. The only person that would get in his wheelbarrow was his mom. Well, we all need to get in the wheelbarrow because we all have to trust each other, kind of thing. It's good. It's sometimes you got to be quacky with them. But
in all your state, like, sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
No, Brett, you might be the only person that's listened to it because it literally went live this morning. So
I have two kids, so I can just listen to podcasts all the time.
And I thought it was a great idea, like 5 minutes. Like, yeah. Sometimes I don't have time to listen to a podcast. I want something quick, like quick, like give me something quick and then I can just go on to the next thing. But go ahead, Jordan. I'm sorry.
Sorry. So all your championship teams, do you remember a defining moment where you're like, okay, we got a shot?
Yes. Usually there was a loss involved in it.
There's a lot. Yeah. That's how they reacted.
Yeah, there was a loss. Yeah, I would say there was a loss mid-January, February that they go, whoa, someone just punched us and we didn't like it. Or a loss the season before, something like that. There was always a moment. Now, you don't necessarily know the moment at the time,
right?
But there was always this, like, whoa, back up, you know, like that. We just turned the corner in there. Yeah, so I think there's, and the thing is, to be honest with you, there's been teams that haven't won it that we've had that turning moment and played really well and then lost in the finals or something, because there's luck involved. Like, you know, someone shoots, you know, 67% from three, you're gonna lose. I mean, there's things outside of your control too. So I've had a couple that have lost it that could have easily won other years, or if the ball, you know, somebody has, doesn't get foul. I mean, there's other variables. The math teacher kind of freaks out at that point, but yeah,
it is very dependent on the kids.
Yeah.
Like we had a game that was just exactly like what Steve's talking about this year of it was a rival school. It's like school that's produced all these NBA players, all this in the Chicagoland area. They're in our conference, and we're way better than them, and they are beating the crap out of us at halftime. And I just walked in the locker room, and I just said to my guys, what could I possibly say to you right now, and left. And the kids, like, they got up and started, like, telling each other what they were going to do, the leaders. Like, most of my – and that was our only chance, is if, like, they all of a sudden decided that was going to happen. And it worked. Like, we came back and beat them because I just told them, I was like, I have nothing to say to you at halftime. Like, you guys figure it out. Now, if I had said that to a bad team and did that, they would have probably fought each other in there.
Right.
Right. We had two losses to, like, two teams that were just as good as us to that point. And, you know, some of it's just knowing your team. Like, that was a defining moment. And it still took a lot of luck for us to win that game. I mean, we hit a three at the buzzer that hit the back of the rim, went like 30 feet up in the air and came back down and went in to win the game. But, like, that was our only chance, just to tell them, guys, like, there's literally nothing I can tell you, and walked out at halftime.
Right. Fixed. Yeah. Part of it is just learning how to read the room too. There's like, I've come to timeouts and not said anything. I've literally sat in the timeout and just looked at them.
I coached with a guy that told me, he goes, one of the best things you can do when you have that team that you hate, that think they all know more than you and they won't win games because they won't put in, he goes, just don't say anything in the pregame. He goes, all of a sudden the kids are going to start losing and be like, coach, you got to give us what the game plan is. Oh, you think that we need a game plan? You think we need this stuff? Now, I wouldn't try that when I was good in a good, like, in a big game. But, like, if you're having a season that, like, you have nothing to lose, might be a good one to try. Like,
and I've done that with really – I've done the no talk and a timeout with really good teams. Like, I've just come in and just looked at them. Just the disapproval dad look. and said nothing for a minute, just looked at each one of them. Because then they know it's like, holy crud, is he mad? Like, he doesn't even have anything to say to us. Like,
and then what do you do? Yeah. We had a game this year. We had made 15 threes the game before, and we start off the game 0-15 from the three-point line.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like. We love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.